The title of the message this morning is this: until the end, finishing what you start. Finishing what you start. Last week we talked about until the end, finish your race. Finish your race. Run it well. That's why I sang that song this morning. I want us to finish well in our life. But this morning's message is a little bit unique in that I want to show you some examples of some people in the Bible who finished what they started. And I want to encourage you and me to do the same. Let's pray together and ask God to use His Word to help us, instruct us this morning, to teach us. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that we can gather in church today. I thank You for each one here. I ask You to please, Spirit of God, work in our spirit today, work in our heart. Convict us if we need convicting, challenge where we need challenge, and strengthen and comfort where people need it, Lord. You know the need of every person's heart. And please work in us today, as only You can. You know each one here better than I do. You know their struggles and needs better than I do. And You love us and You care about us. I'm thankful for that. Work in us today, I pray. Be glorified through our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Until the end. Until the end. Press on to the end and finish what you start. Finish what you start. Deuteronomy 31 is where we're going to look at, and we'll just look at several different places in the scriptures. I want to show you this morning how some great people in the Bible finished what they started. They finished what they started. They worked through to the end. They maybe kept on working at times when it wasn't easy. They kept on going maybe at times when it was hard, but they finished what they started. They finished what they started. They worked through adversity. They worked when it was difficult. They worked until the task that God gave them to do was finished or was completed. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse number 24, the Bible says this: "And it came to pass when Moses had made an end." When Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were, what's that word? Finished. Finished. You can answer me when I call, and that's okay. He made an end of writing the book of the law. Listen. Don't let your mind wander. Listen close, please. He finished. He made an end of what God had given him to do, to the very end, until it was completed. Moses faithfully wrote down all that God's Holy Spirit told him to write down. And because one man was faithful to do what God gave him to do, because there was a man who was willing to faithfully finish and write down the book of the law and so on, that was given to these people through Moses. A book that was intended to show mankind their sinfulness. A book that was intended to show man their need for the Savior. Their need for the Lord Jesus Christ. What happened? Here was a man, Moses, who worked to the end. Who finished what he started. He completed a great task that God gave him to do. He finished what he started. Listen close, if you would. Joshua 8:24 tells us that Joshua and God's people, they made an end of what God had told them to do. You'll find that expression used several times in the scriptures. Joshua made an end of what God had told them to do. That means they fully completed what they started out to do. They made an end of it. They finished what they started, in other words. God gave them a victory, Joshua 8, over the people of Ai. And God gave them a conquest because they were willing to fully obey God. In just a chapter or so, chapter or two before that, they ended up getting in trouble. They lost the battle against just a very small little place. Why? Because when they had gone through Jericho, and God told them that they weren't supposed to touch, you know, any of the things of Jericho. Don't take any of the things of Jericho. That's consecrated to me. That's set aside for me. They didn't fully obey, did they? And Achan got in trouble, and his family got in trouble because of one man's sin, one man's disobedience, an unwillingness to fully obey God, to completely obey God to the end, to the completion, to the full of what God wanted done. But here now, finally, they get a victory over Ai. Why? Because they obeyed God. They made an end of what God told them to do. Listen, your and my obedience to God is always going to have to involve complete obedience. We're really not obeying God at all if we only obey Him partially. If we won't obey God fully or to the end or obey Him completely, we're really not obeying Him at all. In 1 Samuel 15, some of you would know the story, how Saul got in trouble. He got in big trouble with God because Saul did not finish what he started. He did not completely obey all that God had told him to do. Turn with me over to Ruth chapter number 2. Ruth chapter number 2. I'm giving you some examples here quickly this morning, and we're going somewhere with all of this, okay? If you have your Bible, look at Ruth chapter number 2 and verse number 23. Joshua judges Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter number 2, and verse number 23. The Bible says, so she kept fast. She kept fast. That's staying somewhere, doing what you're supposed to do. Just like how we're told to stand fast in the Bible. Well, the Bible says about her, she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. Now just listen and look at me. Ruth did what Boaz asked her to do in this chapter. She did what Boaz asked her to do in this chapter. She worked in the fields of Boaz, gathering up the gleanings of the barley harvest until the end. Until the end of the harvest, until the work was done, until the job was completed, she stayed there and continued to work to the end of each day, to the end of the harvest. She worked as Boaz had asked her to. One of the things that Boaz first noticed about Ruth, of course, was that she was pretty. He noticed that. But you know something else I think he noticed? He noticed that she was a good worker. She was a hard worker. She did not quit in the middle of the day. She did not quit in the middle of a job. She finished what she started. You know something that Boaz took notice of Ruth in this story? He took notice of her character. She was someone of good character. She would work until the end. She would finish what she started. She was steadfast. She kept working till the end. And that was the start of a beautiful relationship. Those of you that know the story. Boaz got a good wife. Ruth got a good husband. You know something in our own lives? We ought to have the same character to work hard to the end. To finish what you start. People of good character, you know who they'll generally look for to marry? Someone of good character. I know there's all kinds of this and that, and there can be problems and so on, but people of good character, you know who they ought to be looking for or should look for to marry? Someone of good character. You don't want to be a young lady who you've got character and you know how to get up in the morning and you know how to work hard and you know how to take care of yourself and then marry some guy who's totally lazy and isn't going to take care of you and isn't going to take care of your children. People of good character are going to look for someone with good character, someone who works hard, someone who finishes what they start. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 12, God said to Samuel, he said, in all that I will perform against Eli, all that I have spoken. He said this, I maybe added a few words there. He said, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken. In other words, God told Samuel here, he's saying, I'm going to do what I said. I always keep my word. Do you know that even our God is somebody who finishes what he starts? Do you know that God didn't start creation and not finish it? God did what? On day one, he created this. And on day two, he created this. And on day three, four, five, six, he created this. And then on day seven, he did what? He rested. Why? Because he was finished. He finished. God always finishes what he starts as well. God made this unique statement here to Samuel saying, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken. I will do what I said. I keep my word. Then the rest of the verse says, when I begin, I will also make an end. When I begin, I will also make an end. When God begins something, he does it to the end. He doesn't quit halfway through. He finishes what he starts. God told Samuel, what I start, I'm going to finish. What I said, I'm going to do. What I've begun, I will complete. Our God is a God who finishes what he starts. He completes what he begins. And God wants us to have that same character. God wants you, until the end, finish what you start. Finish what you start. Do what you say you're going to do. Work until a task is completed. Be a finisher. Be a finisher. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, Here's another example. 1 Samuel 10, verse 13. The Bible tells us that Saul made an end of prophesying. He made an end of prophesying. This took place when Saul was still young. And he had just been anointed to be king. It was before King Saul became proud and disobedient to the Lord. In chapter 10, it tells us how that Samuel anointed Saul. But then it tells us in 1 Samuel 10 and verse 6 that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul and God made him a new man. Saul became another man, the Bible says. Saul became a different man, if you will. He was turned into another man. He became a different man. He was a man filled with the Spirit of God, the Bible says, a man who would preach and speak what God told him to speak. The Bible says even in verse 9 that God gave to Saul, gave him another heart. He turned him into another man. He gave him another heart. Saul now was somebody who had a message from the Lord that he had to share. And he did that to the end. To the end. He stood up that day and spoke what God wanted him to speak. And he said all that God wanted him to say. He didn't, some people don't like what I'm saying. They're giving me funny looks, so I'm not going to say it. No, he made an end of prophesying. He did what God gave him to do. You know, when God calls a young man into the full-time ministry to maybe be a pastor or be a missionary, when God calls a young man to preach the glorious gospel of Christ, he should stand in the power of God and he should preach that message until he has no more strength to preach. We should not forsake our calling in life. We should be faithful to the end, finish what we start, finish what God has called us to do. Let me give you another example. 1 Kings chapter 1 and verse 41. 1 Kings 1 verse 41. And this is just verses I searched with these words in it. But the Bible tells us that people made an end of eating. Made an end of eating. This was when they were guests at a banquet when Solomon was crowned as the king of Israel. The people made an end of eating. When I read this verse, and you could say, well, maybe it means something else. Maybe it does. But when I read this verse, I thought about a good little piece of advice for parents. A super practical little thought. Hey, don't you think it'd be good for you and me as parents to teach our children to finish what they start? Make an end of eating. Hey, when you put food on your plate, make sure you eat it. When you take something, make sure you eat it. You know, don't be a waster. If you're going to take that piece of chicken, eat that piece of chicken. Don't throw it in the garbage. I grew up in a home where, you know what? We always had to eat what was on our plate. We always had to finish what was on our plate. And some of you that are older, you grew up that way too. Why do some of us then nowadays, why do some of you not make your little children eat what they... Listen, the Bible teaches in Proverbs we're not to be wasteful. We're not to be wasteful. Hey, have them make an end of eating. Have them finish what they start. Make your kids eat their vegetables on their plate. Make them eat what they take. Teach them to have the character to clean their plate, to eat their food, to finish what they start. God does not want us to be wasteful of food. Proverbs 12:27 associates the lazy man with a person who wastes food. The Bible doesn't say good things about it. We need to develop young people with a character to finish what they start. You know what? If they won't have the character to finish their plate, to finish what's on their plate, they may not have the character to finish well in that job or finish well in something bigger in life that, you know, that is of greater significance maybe for eternity. Let's be finishers and let's train our children to finish what they start. Finish what they start. Turn with me over to 1 Kings chapter number 8. I want you to see a few verses there. 1 Kings chapter 8. We'll keep going through the Bible here kind of in order. Turn over to 1 Kings. 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, you'll find it. 1 Kings chapter 8. And we're going to look down at verse number 54. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54 through 57. The Bible says here, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying, all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord, that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us, nor forsake us. What I want you to see here in verse 54 is that Solomon made an end of praying all this prayer. He made an end of praying all this prayer. I looked at it. Solomon's prayer began way back in verse 22. It began in verse 22 and it goes down all the way through verse 54. About 33 verses or so is used to describing this prayer that Solomon prayed. My thought is very simple. Do you and I pray like we should? Do we pray like we should? Solomon, here he prayed. He supplicated before God on behalf of the people. Solomon brought his request before the Lord. Solomon opened up his heart and cried out to God. Solomon started out in verse 23 praising God and bragging on God. And he said, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee. There is no God like thee. In heaven above or in earth beneath, there's no God like you who keeps his promises. Do you and I pray? Do we make an end of praying? Is the entirety of our praying, you know, Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it. Amen. Is that the entirety? That's not a prayer life. That's not praying. God wants us to pray. God wants us to spend time with him. And Solomon begins his prayer by praising God and thanking God for how good he is and all the good things he's done. Solomon here, he reminds God about his promises. Now, that's another great thing to do when you pray. Remind God of his promises. And hold those promises up to God. Hold God's word back to him and say, God, this is your word. This is what you say. This is what you promised me. I'm claiming it. I'm asking it. Do this, God. You promised to do it. We ought to hold up the promises of God to him as God's people. Can you come to God every day in prayer, praising him for who he is and thanking him for what he's done? Can you remind God of his faithfulness and claim God's promises when you pray? God, you've never failed before. Every word you've always kept, every one of your promises has always been true. It's never failed. You need to believe that God will hear and answer your prayers. We read on of Solomon's desire for God to hear his prayer and to hearken to his prayers. We see Solomon's submission and devotion as he calls himself God's servant. What a great way to pray. Where we humbly see ourselves as God's servant, and we're not, you know, the one who's trying to boss God around when we pray. But we're humble when we come before him. Do we see ourselves as God's humble servants, beseeching his help and asking for his will to be done in our lives? Or do we sometimes come to God in prayer with maybe a pride and arrogance, demanding from God or telling God that this is what God has to do? He's God. He can do what he wants. May the Lord help us to be humble when we pray. We read in Solomon's prayer of his seeking God's mercy and forgiveness because the people's hearts had been turned away from the Lord and turned to wrong ways. And he sought mercy and forgiveness. Can I ask you this? Can I ask myself this question? Do we come to God every day in prayer, confessing our sins and seeking God's forgiveness? We ought to. We ought to. It's not a matter of for our salvation. We understand the scriptures that's settled. But as children of God, we have a heavenly Father and we want to keep a close relationship with him. We don't want things to come between our soul and the Savior. We don't want things to come between our heart and God. We want to be right with our heavenly Father and pleasing to our heavenly Father and in a good relationship with our heavenly Father. 1 John 1, 9 promises us if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. As Solomon prays, we see his desire for God's glory. He does not just seek blessing for himself and his family. Solomon asks God to do great things so that God's name can be made big. So that God's name can be magnified. So that God's name would be great and so that God's name would be feared through the whole earth and that he'd be glorified. You know, I would like my heart motivation in prayer to be so pure that my desire was always for Christ to be magnified and Christ to be glorified. That it's not just about God, do this for me, but God, I want you to do something because I want people to see that you answer prayer and you are awesome and you're a great God. We ought to pray even with God's glory in mind. Pray that his power would be seen. Pray that the answers to our prayer might be used of God to show the world that he is real. Do you and I make an end of praying, or are we just too busy to pray? Are we too concerned with other things that we don't take time to pray? God help us. God forgive us if we neglect Him. We ought not to neglect Him. Listen, we ought to spend time with Him in prayer. You know what? Some people this morning need to start praying. Some people need to keep on praying. Maybe some people need to get back to praying like you used to. Maybe some people need to spend more time praying. Maybe some people need to be more faithful to praying. Maybe some people need to stop giving up. Stop quitting. Don't ever give up, we sang earlier this morning. Just pray. Just pray. Don't give up in your praying. And maybe some people need to stop quitting and pray through to the end. Maybe some people need to get more God-focused and less selfish in their praying. Maybe some people need to find a time and find a place every day where you'll get alone with God and spend time in prayer. Maybe some people need to learn to pray through. Pray to the end. Pray till the answer comes. And don't give up. Finish what you start. Pray to the end. Pray to the end. Pray through. Pray till the answer comes. Pray till you see what God can do. Pray till you've seen what God wants to do. Pray till He has either done that miracle, answered that prayer, made His will plain to you, but pray through. Pray through. All of us desperately need to pray. We need to pray. Turn with me over to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7. This is good for the young people this morning. This is good for the old people this morning. This is good for a married person this morning or a single person this morning, whoever you are. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And let's look there at verses 1 to 3. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the people could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good. He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Chapter 6 records Solomon's prayer. And then consider with me what happens when he finishes praying, when he makes an end of praying. The Bible said there in verse 1, when Solomon made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven, consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Hey, what can happen when God's people get serious about prayer? What can happen when God's people pray and believe that God will answer their prayer? What can happen? Well, I believe miracles can happen. Miracles can happen. Things that can't be explained by man. Things that are not because, you know, just mankind did it, but we did it. But no, that God did it. God did it. What can happen when God's people pray and pray through to the end? Miracles can happen. Secondly, God's glory will be seen. God's glory will be seen. When God answers prayer and when God does miracles, listen, God's glory will be seen by us. God's glory will be seen. God's power will be seen. And thirdly, God will be glorified by those who've seen what God can do. God will be glorified, listen, by those who've seen what God can do. Verse 3 says this, when all the children of Israel saw how that the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good. For He is good. For He is good. You know, it's good for us to keep on praying until we see what God can do. Don't give up in prayer. Finish. Finish. Keep on praying until the answer comes. Trust Him. Whatever He decides is always what is good, and it's always what is best. But don't give up in prayer. Don't give up. Pray through. Don't ever give up. Just pray. Just pray. Pray through. Pray to the end. Make an end of praying until you've seen the answer come, until the miracles happen, until God has answered your prayer. Pray until the end. Pray until the answer comes. Pray until you've seen what God can do. Look with me at 2 Chronicles chapter number 8 and verse number 16. 2 Chronicles 8 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Now all the work of Solomon was prepared unto the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord, and until it was," what? "Finished." Finished. So the house of the Lord was perfected. In verse 1 of this chapter, it tells us that for 20 years, Solomon worked on building the house of God, the temple of God, until it was finished, until it was completed. He finished what he started out to do. He completed the task that he was given by God to do. It was beautiful. It was a beautiful temple, but it took a long time to build. A long time to build. You know what? We sometimes want to give up on something because, you know, it seems too hard. Or it's taking too long. Or we're maybe not seeing the progress. We thought we'd be done by now. Listen, stay with it. Stay with it. Finish what you start. We sometimes want to give up on things because it's hard or it's taking a long time, when instead what we need to do is keep on working and keep on building. We need to have the character to stay with it until the end. Finish what we start. If you're involved in doing something that you know God wants you to do, then don't give up too easily. Don't quit when things get hard. A great Christian life may take decades in the making. You become frustrated. You know, you've been saved for a few weeks or a few months or a few years, and you get so frustrated, and the devil wants to discourage you and make you give up and quit because, man, I thought I'd be a lot better Christian than what I am. Why do I fail God so much? Or maybe you've even been saved for decades and just maybe things have knocked you down sometimes and you think, oh, hey, don't give up. We won't be perfectly like Christ until we get to heaven, but he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. It took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth and Jupiter and Mars. Hey, but he's still working on me. He's still working on you. Don't you give up. A great Christian life may take decades in the making. A great church may take decades in the building. A great business may take decades in the building. A great walk with God. A great walk with God may take decades in the forming and developing and drawing you closer to Jesus Christ. I hope that you young people or you younger Christians that in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now, your relationship with God and your walk with God will be better than it is now. Don't give up. Don't give up. Finish what you start. A great marriage may take decades in the making. Do you know who have some of the sweetest marriages? People who've been married 50, 60 years and they've stuck it out through tough times and they've had their ups and downs and they've been through struggles and trials together and they've trusted the Lord and learned so much together and they've learned to lean upon the Lord and lean upon one another. They've learned to submit to the Lord and to submit to one another. You know, 20 years ago, my wife and I, our marriage was built on kissing all the time. Amen. You know, you're newly married and, you know, you're just in love. You're married. You know, you just love being married and you love each other and you're just lovey-dovey and this. You know what? Our marriage is built on a whole lot more than that now. It's still built on kissing as much as possible, right? My kids would know that. But you know, it's built on a lot more than that. We've been through things together. And we've been through trials together and ups and downs. And good things often take time to be built. Our love is deeper and stronger today than it was 20 years ago. God has brought us through so much together. And we're more committed to each other now than we've ever been. Look with me at Nehemiah chapter number 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. I don't say what I say about marriage and intend for it to be painful to some, and maybe it is. But I think you would agree with me. You'd want me to say what I said for the sake of your children and young people and those that are not married yet. I believe with all my heart that we can have great marriages and God can build great marriages. Nehemiah 6 and verse number 15, look at it. Nehemiah 6 and verse 15. So the wall was what? Finished. So the wall was finished in the 20th and 5th day of the month of Elu in 52 days. Those of you who know the story of the book of Nehemiah know that Nehemiah returned to Jerusalem after the Babylonian captivity when the walls of the city were broken down and the gates were destroyed and burned with fire. the remnant, those remaining of God's people in Jerusalem, they were hurting. They were suffering. The worship of God was not taking place like it ought to have been. And Nehemiah was one of these men during this time period that God called to a special job. God called him to a big job. And God sent Nehemiah from Babylon back to Jerusalem to go back and to help rebuild the walls and to encourage the people. He cared about the people. Nehemiah set out to do that. He started out to do that. He began to do that, but he didn't just begin and start out. He finished. He finished. He had a passion for the people and for the work of God. Not everybody liked what Nehemiah was doing. He faced all kinds of opposition, but he would not quit. He would not quit. He would not quit. In chapter 1, he prayed and he sought the Lord's will. In chapter 2, he began the work. He rallied the people and he said, "Let us rise up and build. Let's do something." He started. In chapter 3, he set each of the families in their place to build along the wall. You know, it was like a great church. Each of the families were there and just, they had a place along the wall where they could build and do something for God. In chapter 4, despite some great difficulty and opposition, the Bible says that Nehemiah and the people just kept on building the wall. The Bible says, for the people had a mind to work. People had a mind to work. They wanted to finish what they started. In chapter 6, again, people tried to get Nehemiah to stop, to quit, to give up. But Nehemiah kept on working and he sent a messenger back to them to tell them this. He said, "I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Why should the work stop whilst I leave it and come down to you?" You know, Nehemiah was somebody who believed in the importance of God's work getting done. Getting done. Nehemiah prayed that God would strengthen their hands to complete the task, to build the wall, to stand against the enemies, and to finish the work. And guess what happened? They did. They did complete the walls. They finished. Nehemiah finished what he started. He finished what God called and asked him to do. Some of you are looking at that clock and you're wondering, is he ever going to finish? Hey, I'm going to finish what I started. I see those lances. I'm going to finish what I started. Hey, we need to be finishers. That is the dumbest place for a clock ever. It used to be on that wall, and then they put it on this wall. Oh, I'm going to finish. Hey, we need to be finishers. We need to be finishers. God, help us to finish what we start. May we finish the work that God asks us to do until it's completed or until He takes us home to heaven. You know, our work for God, your work for God, our life of service for Jesus Christ should not be over until our life is over. Until we finish what the Lord has given us to do. Hey, you faithfully teach that Sunday school class. You faithfully be the witness for Christ that He wants you to be. You faithfully support the Lord's work. You faithfully send out missionaries to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. We want all people everywhere to hear of Christ and hear the gospel, and there's people that still need to hear, don't they? So we want to finish the task. Faithfully sing in the choir, faithfully serve in the nursery, faithfully serve as that helper in church ministry, faithfully pick up people for church, faithfully study the Word of God, faithfully attend, faithfully use your spiritual gifts and God-given abilities to serve the Lord and to edify and to encourage others. We ought to finish what we start. Finish every task that God gives us to do. Finish obeying the Great Commission until the gospel has been preached to every creature. Finish using our life to serve Christ and do those things that He's either called us to do or clearly gifted us to do, or maybe even just because He's commanded us to do it. Finish. Finish. In Jeremiah 26 and again in Jeremiah 43, the Bible tells us that the prophet Jeremiah made an end of speaking all that the Lord commanded him to speak unto all the people. The people did not like what the preacher had to say. If you read Jeremiah 26:8, 43:1, they didn't like it. In one of those places, the Bible says they literally took him. They grabbed him and said, "Thou shalt surely die." They were angry. They didn't like what he was saying. They didn't like what he was preaching. Do you know it's not the pastor's job to tell you everything that you want to hear? It's the pastor's job to tell you what you need to hear, what God wants us to hear. Shouldn't I be a preacher that obeys God? Would you want me? Do you think I should be a preacher that obeys God? Would that be a good thing to do? I should tell you what the Word of God has to say, whether you like it or not. I have to tell you what the Word of God says, whether you agree with it or not. Jeremiah was determined, I'm going to finish well. He wanted to finish, to complete, to do what God told him to do. And the Bible says that Jeremiah, he made an end of speaking. He made an end of speaking what the Lord told him to speak. He didn't decide, well, I'm going to sit down after 5 minutes because they're glaring at me. They keep looking at the clock. They're threatening me. They're getting angry. They're starting to fume and froth at the mouth. And no, he kept on. He just kept on preaching what God wanted him to preach. If you want a preacher who will just tickle your ears and scratch your back and make you feel good about yourself all the time, you can find those kind of preachers. But they're not doing what God wants them to do. They're instead seeking to please men. If you want me to be a preacher who will finish my job, who will do what God tells me to do, then that means that many times when I preach the Word of God to you, you won't always like what it says. Now, there will be times that you'll be bothered by what I say because the Holy Spirit of God is living on the inside of you if you're saved, and He's trying to convict you about things, and He's trying to convince you of things, and He's trying to work in you, and you won't always like it when the Spirit of God and the man of God and the Word of God is being preached to you. But God's Spirit is trying to make you more like Christ. We read this morning about Moses. What did he do? He finished. He finished what God gave him to do. Ruth finished what she was asked to do. We read about a place where God said, I'm going to finish. He promised that I'm going to finish. I will keep my word. I'll make an end of what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to do it. We ought to have the character of a finisher. Stay with something until the end. Keep working at something until we've done what we purpose to do or what God has asked us to do. We talked about Saul, who began to preach and finished his message when God changed his heart and turned him into another man. We need men who will surrender to start and commit to finish when God calls them to preach his word. We read this morning of Solomon, who made an end of his prayer. He took much time to pray. He was committed to pray. He believed God could hear and answer his prayer. Listen, we need Christians who will be like that. We need Christians who will be committed to getting to a prayer closet, getting alone with God, spending time in prayer, even when our flesh wants to pull us to do other things. The flesh will always want to pull us to do other things. Our flesh desires, our flesh wants this. Our flesh would rather do this. But we've got to make ourselves, have the character to make ourselves get alone with God and spend time with God and get in the Word of God and spend time in prayer. We need Christians who really learn to pray, to take time to praise God for who He is and thank Him for what He's done. Christians who will claim God's promises, who will submit to God's will. Christians who will believe God and pray big prayers. Christians who will confess their sins and seek God's mercy and forgiveness. Christians who will pray through. Pray till the answer comes. Pray to the end. Keep on praying. Persevere in prayer. Don't give up. We saw that when we pray, miracles can happen and we'll see God's glory, and then we'll want to praise and glorify God because of what He's done. We too need to finish well in prayer. Pray until the answer comes. We read of men like Solomon and Nehemiah who finished some tasks that they were given by God to do. They would not be stopped. They would not be denied. I'm going to finish. They did not quit. No, God may be trying to build something in your life that will take years or decades in the making. Don't quit now. Don't quit now. The Bible teaches us in Philippians 1 verse 6, I think it is. He is faithful. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He'll finish it. He'll complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, Christ began something in you and He wants to complete it. Don't give up now. Let Christ do the work in you that He wants to do. He is not going to be finished working on you until the day you stand before Christ. Hey, maybe God wants to use you to help build something. There may be a great work of God that He wants to use you to be a part of. Will you be willing to surrender every part of your life to God? Will you be willing to be used in the service of Christ for God's glory? Do you know that God's work is the greatest work in the whole wide world? It is. I mean, not just God's work for like preachers and missionaries and all that sort of thing, but God's work for all of us to do. There's work that all of you can do, you know, in your church and in serving the Lord and in edifying one another and in trying to reach the lost and so on. There is God's work to be done. Don't accept excuses for why you can't serve the Lord anymore or why you can't do what the Bible tells you to do. Like Nehemiah, be determined to finish. Don't let Satan, don't let distractions, don't let anything else keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Somebody said to me this week something about how distractions could maybe keep you from doing the right thing. Hey, don't let distractions keep you from finishing what you've started. Don't let distractions or the world keep you from letting God finish in you what He began in you. Let's obey God. Let's obey His Word. Let's do what Christ commands. Let's be faithful. Let's be finishers. We need to have the character to finish what we start. In conclusion, you're glad to hear those words. Let me say that Christ finished what He started. Listen, He finished what He started. He finished the task. He finished the work that was His to do. What did Jesus Christ say on the cross? It is finished. It's finished. In John 17:4, the Bible tells us Christ finished the work that He was given to do by the Father. He finished the work. The task, what the Father gave Him to do, He finished it. You know, Jesus is our pattern. He's our example. And we ought to follow in His steps. We ought to follow in His steps. Luke chapter 14. If you want to look there with me, I encourage you to see the verses for yourself. You don't have to trust me. You can see that they're right there. They're in the Bible. Luke chapter 14. Luke 14, Brother Ephraim. Luke 14, verses 25 through 30. Let's look at that. You know, if you started out for God, you ought to finish. Work until you're finished. Finish what you start. Go until the end. A good disciple of Jesus Christ always finishes what he starts. Finishes what he starts. Look what the Bible says in Luke 14, verse 25. And there went great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them. There's a multitude of people, obviously, that started out. They started out following him, but look what he says to them. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and his wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after that he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You know what? You need to be so determined that in my love for Christ and in my devotion to Christ and in my commitment to Christ, I'm going to follow him and be his disciple no matter what. We don't try to explain these verses away per se. But I certainly understand when you compare with scriptures, God is not saying, hate your family. Understand, he's not really saying that. But let me tell you something, your love for Christ ought to be so extreme that if you have unsaved family, and then you know what, in the time when Christ lived and so on, there wasn't many believers yet, right? True believers and followers of Christ. There was lots of times where it was, you know, one Jewish believer, one person who forsook religion and became a follower of Christ. And so many times then, and even still today, I've known it and I've seen it, there are people who maybe they get saved and they become a Christian, they begin to want to follow Christ, but they have an unsaved wife or an unsaved husband or unsaved parents or unsaved relatives, and maybe you've got old unsaved friends or people. Listen, there will be times when in your determination to follow Christ, you're going to have to count the cost and say, what I started, I'm going to finish. I'm going to be a good disciple of Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're misunderstood, if you're rejected by old friends, if you have family that don't understand, why are you so committed to Christ? Why are you so fanatical about church? Why do you love God so much? Why do you want to go to church all the time? What's all this Jesus stuff? But you determine what I've started, I'm going to finish. Jesus started and he finished. He left heaven and came down to earth and was willing to go all the way to the cross for us. He finished what he was given to do. When we've started out now as followers of Christ, can you be determined? I'm going to finish it. I want to be his disciple. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. That's what it means. What has been started, will you finish it? Will you finish it? Will you be committed to following Christ? Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him. Consider him. When you think about quitting, when you think about, oh, this is hard, people don't understand me. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like, ah, it's not worth it, I can't keep going, why don't you say, no, I've started and I'm going to finish. I'm going to finish. I want to have the character of my God. I want to have the character of my Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to have the character of these godly men and ladies in the Bible who finished what they started. Who finished what they started.